Hello and welcome to the Gua Sha Show, helping you get the best results out of Gua Sha and Eastern medicine for the face and the body. I'm your host, Clive Whittam, and every week we explore the world of Gua Sha to help you use and understand this great technique with research and stories and guests and useful tips. So let's get straight into this episode.
And let's look at how Gua Sha can treat perimenopausal syndrome.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of season 2 of the Gua Sha Show. And today we're looking at the effects of Gua Sha on something that affects a lot of women as they reach a certain stage of life. And we'll also look at a study showing us how to treat with Gua Sha, and I'll throw some tips in as well. But first, let's look at sunflowers. You may know that until a certain age, sunflowers follow the sun during the day as they grow. They start the day facing east and then rotate throughout the day to the west, absorbing as much sunlight as possible. And then when the sun goes down, they rotate back. And then they do this from a combination of their internal circadian clock and growth hormones. If they didn't do this, then they would have a decreased biomass and smaller leaves. So this is the general life of a sunflower, rotating backwards and forwards every day. But as the sunflower matures and the flower opens fully, there's a big change. Their growth slows down dramatically and the plants actually stop moving during the day. And from then on, they just stay facing east. They no longer rotate. The reason they do this is that the circadian clock, which is the clock that gives them a natural timing, ensures that the plant reacts more strongly to light early in the morning than in the afternoon or the evening. And this helps it to attract 5 times as many pollinating insects, so they don't need the rotation anymore. Now, the ancient Chinese were students of the natural world, and they looked around them to see the principles which mould our internal and external environment. Now, a sunflower is a great plant to study to give us insight to how our bodies function, and like other heliotropic plants, can provide the simplicity we need to understand complexity. So, let's now turn to perimenopausal syndrome, which affects many women as they mature in life and become fixed facing east like the sunflower. So let's start by clarifying what perimenopausal syndrome is. And let's come to a few definitions from Harvard Medical School in order to find out. So although it can be defined in various ways, experts generally agree that it begins with irregular menstrual cycles. And this is because of declining ovarian function, and it ends a year after the last menstrual period. So it can affect women at a variety of ages depending on what's going on inside their body, but generally it will affect women in their 40s and 50s. So everyone is quite unique also with their symptoms, and the symptoms of perimenopause are going to vary a lot according to what is and what has been happening in your body up to that point. So for most women, it's going to last 3 to 4 years, and the symptoms can be variable. You might get hot flashes, which is heat coming up to your head area. You might get night sweats, and in fact, up to 50% of perimenopausal women suffer night sweats. You might also get sleep disturbances, heavy periods, periodic bleeding, mood changes, and 20% of people who suffer from perimenopausal syndrome have mood changes. And also things like short-term memory loss and problems keeping your concentration. So it's pretty clear that potentially many areas of your life are going to be affected by these symptoms. And often what happens internally is even more complicated, because things might be happening at this stage in your life which affect the symptoms. So, for example, if you have children, then your children might be leaving home during this period. You might change your job. You might change partners. Someone close to you may become ill or die. So sometimes the symptoms can be a mixture of many factors that affect your life during this period. So how can Gua Sha help you with the symptoms of perimenopause? Okay, so in the field, you've done your rotations, you've stopped, your flowers opened up, you're looking as beautiful as ever, but then the rest of your stem wants to move, it wants to rotate, but you can't rotate anymore. So how can Gua Sha help you with the symptoms of perimenopause? Well, first, let's have a look at reports which have come out of China on this very issue. One of these was picked up by major news networks in 2016 and 2017. You can find articles in Fox News and Reuters and Yahoo News. And they were getting rather excited about a publication of a Chinese study in Menopause, the Journal of the North American Menopause Society. It was called The Effect of Gua Sha Therapy on Perimenopausal Syndrome, and it was a randomized controlled trial. So, what happened in this trial? So, essentially, after 8 sessions of Gua Sha, which were given to a Gua Sha control group, they reported improved reductions in hot flashes and sweating. Also, paresthesia. Now, paresthesia is a burning or prickling sensation that you might have on the skin that doesn't have some kind of external cause like too much sun or touching a stinging nettle plant. It just becomes burning and prickling. And also insomnia, nervousness, fatigue, headache, and melancholia. So melancholia be more like feelings of depression. And their conclusions were that Gua Sha therapy was effective and safe in relieving perimenopausal symptoms and improving the quality of life in participants with perimenopausal syndrome. So, well, that sounds fantastic. Well, let's have a look at exactly what they did in this study. So, what did they use? Well, they used a buffalo horn scraper. You could use, if you were going to do any of this, you wouldn't need a buffalo horn scraper. You could use any kind of scraper, any kind of tool, using any kind of material, which is basically what I'm always talking about. You just need a tool. But in this case, they were using a buffalo horn scraper, which is really popular in China. They used it on the back, the arms, and the legs. So let's have a look at each of these areas individually. Let's start with the back. Now, the recipient was seated, and the tool was scraped following the bladder channel on the back. So the bladder channel is a circulation system which is running down your back. And they gave a specific area of this, which they measured from acupuncture points. They said it was from bladder 15 to bladder 23. So bladder 15 is at the level of thoracic vertebra 5. So that would be coming down, counting 5 in the thoracic vertebra section. And bladder 23, which was the bottom end, that was in at the level of lumbar 2. So that's the lumbar vertebra area. You come down 2. So the tool was used at a 45 degree angle to the skin, and also some areas were pressed with the corner of the tool. So the places that were actually pressed with the corner of the tool were bladder 15, which was where it started, and that's level with the spinous process of the 5th thoracic vertebra. Now, the spinous process is the bony projection at each vertebra, and you just put your finger on the spine and bring it down, and you can feel lots of bumps as you're coming down. Those are the bony projections, those are the spinous process. So it's level with the peak of those. So bladder 15 is at the 5th, and then bladder 18 was another one that they pressed, and that was level with the 9th thoracic vertebra. Bladder 20, which is level with the 11th thoracic vertebra, and bladder 23, which is level with the 2nd lumbar vertebra. Now, these are roughly mid to lower back area. So if you were going to do this yourself and you didn't really know where these points are, it's basically they covered the mid to low back area. So they also added in two different channels, which kind of makes sense. They added in the heart channel and the kidney channel. And that makes sense because actually the heart and the kidney channel are actually part of the same channel together. And this is something I explain in great detail on my courses. And it's the Jiayin channel, and they're directly connected. If something's going on in the kidney area, then it's also going on in the heart area. They're very closely connected. And if you just think about heart and kidney in another aspect, heart is part of fire, which is an element that is closely connected. And the kidney is part of water. So imagine fire and water, they have an interesting effect on each other. So the heart channel can be found in the arm, and this is where they treat it. And they actually treat it from heart one. Now this is an area in your armpit. And they were treating down towards heart nine, which is at the end of the little finger. And they also put pressure at heart seven, which is at your wrist. And it's on the ulnar side, which is the little finger side of your wrist. So if you were to follow your little finger down your palm and where it hits the wrist area, that's the area they pushed. And then the kidney channel, which is on your legs, and they describe the movement there is from kidney one, which is at the sole of your feet. It's about a third of the way down from your toes on the sole. And they scraped up to kidney 10, which is at the inside of your knee area. So it's basically on the inside of your lower leg. They also pressed certain areas. They pressed kidney 1, which I already mentioned, at the sole of your feet. Also kidney 3, which is between the tip of the medial malleolus. Now, this is the name of the inner ankle bone. And so it's the tip of the inner ankle bone and the Achilles tendon. So in the gap between those two, that's where kidney 3 is. And they also press kidney 6, which is coming back to that same inner ankle bone. You basically find the middle of it and then come down to just below it. Now, scraping was performed in one direction, of course. This is how you use gua sha. You go down or up, depending on the area of the body. And they described it as typically working 15 to 20 strokes for each channel and about 20 to 30 strokes for each point. They described as treatment being finished when all the sha was expressed. So sha being the red dots that appear after you do gua sha in certain areas. And that meant the total treatment time was 15 minutes. So it's not a long treatment. The intensity of gua sha was described as mild to moderate based on the tolerance of whoever was being treated. And so after the actual treatment, they gave kind of standard advice that's given in China, and they gave everyone a glass of warm water, which was described as boosting their metabolism. And they were instructed to eat light snacks, keep warm, and avoid taking a cold bath. So, of course, keep away from cold. That's the most important thing. So that's it. That's the treatment that was given that gave the results which made this report news around the world. So the treatment that they actually gave wasn't anything earth-shattering. It was very, very standard. Any gua sha treatment on the back has multiple effects, as it affects the body on different levels. This is part of seeing the body in three dimensions and not in two dimensions, and understanding the effects as you go deeper into the body. Now, I've explained in season one, there's a whole episode that I explained about the effects of gua sha, and we looked at how it has an anti-inflammatory effect, how it can regulate the immune system via the upregulation of something called HO1. So if you want to know how gua sha works from a Western medical viewpoint, then go and have a listen to that episode, because it's really, really interesting. But certainly in terms of Chinese medicine, some of these symptoms can be explained in a fairly simple way. Of course, they're very complex processes going on, but we're extracting some simplicity out of them. So what's happening in the abdominal area during this time of change is that blood is slowing down in the uterus, just like we talked about the sunflower, which is slowing down the rotation. And then problems are going to occur when there has been some weakness or obstruction in the uterus, which has come before and has stayed there, which is a very, very, very common thing. And what happens, normally there's some kind of cold that might enter the abdomen in some way. You might do something so simple like sitting on a cold step for too long, sitting on a bench outside in the wind, all kinds of reasons that you might have cold coming into that area. And what happens is that generally your body can deal with this and will adjust itself and remove the cold. But there's times when it can't. And what happens is that the cold just stays there. And this is then called a guest pathology, which is sitting in your body and needs to be removed. And generally what will happen is that when these changes happen inside your body, as it's adjusting to this change in blood flow, then the natural downwards motion of the body hits the obstruction, which is in the uterus area, and then bounces up like a trampoline and goes straight to the head. And hence we've got the hot flashes and the feeling of heat and paresthesia and insomnia and nervousness. And lots of these symptoms are connected with this idea of the movement, that this counterflow of movement in the body. So another really useful area that you can treat is an area at the top of your head. There's actually a point called Du 20, which is by Hui. And there's a movement with Gua Sha called Si Shen Yan, which is finding Bai Hui. Now, Bai Hui is roughly, if you have a look at your ears, you'll see your ears, the attachment of your ears, they're not coming straight up. They're actually angled backwards. If you follow that angle on both sides with your fingers and then come to where they meet at the top of your head, then come forward a couple of finger widths, and all that would be Bai Hui. And so if you then scrape in a downwards motion in every direction coming down, so you scrape down and then come back to the top and then scrape down again, that's a very useful technique for controlling the heat that's coming up to your head. So this one is a great one to add on to the very useful treatment that's suggested in that report. This one is featured in the holographic Gua Sha book. If you have that, then have a look. It's in there and I explain a little bit about it there. And if this piques your interest in the connection between the natural world and the body and how it was interpreted and interconnected by the ancient Chinese and how we can use this to transform our whole knowledge of Gua Sha and the body and take it to a whole new place, come and join me in Ecology in Motion, which is the style of Gua Sha that I focus my whole life on. There are courses where you can learn it. And once you know just a fraction of this, then your whole perspective starts to change and then you just become excited all the time about Gua Sha. And if you ever hear me talking about Ecology in Motion or talking about how the natural world affects our bodies, then you can hear me get still, after all these years, getting rather excited and just enjoying this obvious and natural connection that we can all see but kind of don't realise is there. So if you want to join me, it's in Komor Abbey Institute, and you can find that in the show notes where I'm going to put the link. And as I say in different places, that this is the future of Gua Sha, because the meeting of a natural therapy, a natural treatment with the natural world together is something that's a real special thing to see.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can check out the show notes at clivewhittam.com/Gua Sha Show. You'll also find loads of free videos and information. And if you need more help with Gua Sha, definitely check out my online courses at the Komor Abbey Institute. I'll include the link in the show notes too. Talk to you soon.